I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1...
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free, non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss.
You are listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, and we are live here on PopX Cast. This is episode number 75. Is this kind of like our centennial episode or something like that? What is the 75th?
Centennial would be 100.
Okay, centennial is 100. What's the 75th?
Oh.
Okay.
Three quarters?
Three quarters of the way to the centennial?
So almost there.
We're
happy third quarter,
we're
y'all.
We're getting there. Yeah. This is so cool, man. Oh, my God. Can you guys believe what is going to happen next week?
A whole lot of epic things is going to happen.
My gosh. I was thinking about that today. I was like, oh my gosh, this time next week, we are going to be diving into worlds like next Sunday. This is going to be crazy. Not this Sunday coming, but next Sunday. Or is that? Wait. I don't know what's happening. What's happening
next? Or 1 week.
Yeah. It's like a week and a half. Yeah. It's like
a week and a half. We'll be seeing it. 2 weeks. We'll be screaming.
Yeah, screaming our freaking lungs off. But this is going to be a really cool episode tonight. It's going to be more of a laid-back show where we're going to be talking about some things and some questions you probably haven't thought about and some questions you've kind of been in the back of your mind the whole time. You're like, okay, so what happened to this guy? Where's this going on? So before we get all into that, we're going to actually officially open up the show here. And I would just want to say it's Lindsay, it is good to have Lindsay. You
yes.
back.
Yes. I have returned. I am feeling much better.
You look chipper, girl.
I've been struggling so much with a cold over the last couple of months, and it's starting to seem that it's going away finally. So hopefully, fingers crossed.
Okay.
This will be gone, and I'm back to be sharing all the geeky nerdiness with everybody.
But you look healthy. You sound a lot better. You don't sound as congested. Yes. So. This is a good thing. And Lindsay Badger's on the road to recovery, so that is awesome. And before we open up, I want to give a nice, warm welcome to our friends over in the PopX chat room. We got Michael Murray. Luke is Darth Baca. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know who all's here, but if you're here, let us know.
Our faithful friends we see every week. I'm so excited to see you guys back.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Luke said, flu 2.0. No.
Yeah. It was actually not the flu, but thankfully, I don't want no flu.
All right. Are you guys ready to get this thing kicked off?
Let's do it.
All right. So, hey, guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. Now, we'd like to welcome everyone joining us live here on the PopX.live chat room. Now, come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
And I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian geek at heart. If you guys missed episode 74, where we talked about Ready Player One, check our official website at popxcast.com for this and other great past shows from PopX.
That's right. And I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky okie, back again to tell you that after this show tonight, please go over to either Google Play, iTunes, go to both. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And make sure that you hit the subscribe button. If you're there and you want to see all of the rest of our shows in the PopX archive, there's some majorly awesome things happening over there. If you wanna, we would really like it, really, if you'd give us 5-star rating and review.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that gives us all the feels and we feel all the love.
That many.
That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Feels good.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes. Yes.
5 minutes.
Absolutely. We thank you very much. We love you long time. Yes, all right. I have no idea what I just said, but anyway. Darth Baca, you are going to really love this week's opening news segment. Guys, don't go nowhere. We have an amazing news lineup for you, so we'll be right back.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX Week. Coming to you live right here. PopXcast.com.
Every time I see that in Stephen Colbert for Bruce Almighty, I lose it.
Oh, yeah.
I lose it.
That is the funniest movie.
Oh, that goodness. Is so freaking classic. Funny right now. All right, guys. So, Darth Baca, you were mentioning this over in the chat room. Guess what? Mm-hmm. It's right here. Gary Whitta, the screenwriter behind Rogue One, A Star Wars Story and The Book of Eli, has announced on Twitter officially that he is working with co-writer Jonathan Buttel. Betuel, who wrote the 1984's The Last Starfighter. Holy cow. Now, a reboot of the sci-fi cult classic. Now, Whitta spoke about the project, explaining that The Last Starfighter has always been one of his all-time favorites. It is a deeply special movie, he said in a quote, for me, and the idea of playing a game could be a magic ticket to a real space adventure. I just always thought that the concept was utterly brilliant. And the movies is sorely underrated. Agreed. End quote. And he eventually tracked down Betuel, and who still retains a piece of the ownership from the original film. Now, Whitta goes on to say that the two writers have spent many hours working on The Last Starfighter reboot and now have a fully developed story that is a combination of the reboot and a sequel that we both think horror honors the legacy of the original film while passing the torch to the new generation. Kind of like Tron. Kind of like cool. How Tron married both of them. So now, how many has seen The Last Starfighter, the original 1984? I mean, come on. It's awesome. Oh, Lindsay, we really need to take care of that.
I know. You guys have to help me. Yeah. I'm always the one that needs a little nudge along the nerd trail.
It's all good though.
That's why you guys have me here.
So Austin, what's your thoughts on this?
I think it's fantastic. You know, when this probably came about, when Ready Player One's success just kind of if you look at the concepts, while they're not the same, they're similar in nature. And I think this is a movie that, while it is a cult classic, it's prime for a reboot, because some of the effects in the movie doesn't hold up and things like that. I think the movie is so much fun. And I do believe if they can marry that, kind of like Tron did, if they can marry that, oh, it's a sequel, but it's also kind of a soft reboot.
Yeah.
I think this thing is perfect for a reboot. So I'm very excited.
Nice. You kind of wonder though, if Klein, the author of Ready Player One, if he actually got some inspiration from the Starfighter franchise before he wrote Ready Player One.
Absolutely.
I'm just curious about that.
It's just one of those things. It's like, there are so many concepts from The Last Starfighter that have been taken and done in other movies, right? And you kind of see that in Ready Player One. So why not just reboot it, right? Why not just do something, you know, similar to what we saw in the past and make it with our special effects today? Dude, it could be crazy.
It could be awesome.
Said, what year did you say this was? 1984?
84,
Okay, so how many other 80s cult classic movies are going to be rebooted in the next 10 years?
Oh, you know they.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot. It's coming.
It's
coming. Batten down the hatches.
Yeah.
childhood reborn, right, Joe?
I mean, you know what we really need to see is a Battlestar Galactica feature film.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dibby, 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 dibby.
Please.
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But good stuff. All right, Lindsay Badger, you wasn't here last week, last time we did it, so I'm going to let you have the Avengers spotlight this week.
Yeah. All right.
Crazy.
Well, next up, we've got Avengers Infinity War is going to be a cosmic event, and box office projections increasingly suggest that it's possible it's already tracking well ahead of Star Wars The Last Jedi, and now it seems that the film could surpass even the record-breaking opening weekend box office performance of Star Wars The Force Awakens. Just soak that in for a minute. That's it's how just, big this is just, predicted to be. An update from Box Office Pro stated that it could be an all-time opening weekend record of $247.97 million, and they're an increased base on current trends. You guys, this is, I've heard so many trends saying that this is going to blow past Black Panther, it's going to blow past Avatar and Titanic, because this is going to be such an epic combination of so many beloved franchises all mushed and compacted
it's like,
into a glorious, fantastic movie.
It's like making homemade hamburger soup. You just throw everything in the pot, and it just tastes so delicious when you eat it at the end of the day.
Now, I thought that was jambalaya, that you could just throw everything in the pot, and the longer you cook it, the better
I don't know,
it tastes.
But I tell you what, right now, Infinity War is tasting mighty good on my palate, and I want to get Austin Burke's feedback on this, because Austin Burke is a man of numbers. He knows the numbers. He knows the box office. Austin, what is your projections on this?
I loves me some good box office projections. I was actually... out of all of the critics that I watched on YouTube, I was actually the highest in terms of predictions, and I was still like $40 million off on what Black Panther did. But you look at a movie like Black Panther, and there was a crowd that really didn't go to the theater, right? A lot of people who had never seen a Marvel movie went out to see Black Panther because of how culturally significant it is, right? And a lot of people are saying, well, Avengers Infinity War, it doesn't have that draw. But if you look at who is in the forefront of the marketing material, who are they putting on all the posters and all the trailers?
They're going to... If they're that in love with Black Panther, they're craving more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get more within the same year, within the same quarter.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So
would they not go to the movies and see that?
Here's my prediction. I'm saying, and I've said this, this is what I've been saying for about a week and a half now. I'm saying 250, but the closer we get, and I do think it's going to beat The Force Awakens, right? But the closer we get to the movie, the higher I might go. I don't think I'm ever going to get close to 300, because eventually you're going to run out of seats, right? Which means you can't possibly make that.
That's true.
Well, let's talk about this for a second, though, because this is a really good topic. Let's fast forward back a few weeks ago during the announcement when they said that April the 27th is going to be the launch. They did that strategically because they knew the amount of money that this thing was going to bank. And if you back up and look at it, this has never been done in the history of any. I mean, a film this size with this budget and this many big people on board, bumping it back a week, I mean, forward a week, is just unreal. It's unheard of. And we all know that May 4th, that's the weekend for the box office hits to hit the entire world. Yes. Well, not, I guess Marvel's like, you know what? We're going to change this up. They knew what they're doing. And I think, honestly, my prediction, I'm going to say 275. I'm going to say 275.
Yeah. It's very possible. I mean, I do 100% think it's going to beat The Force Awakens. And here's what I think. They bumped it back a week because Black Panther has really, unless you look at like Ready Player One and right now A Quiet Place, it's had no competition.
Yeah.
Right? When Avengers Infinity War comes out, in 3 weeks you have Deadpool 2, and then a week later you have Han Solo. So the legs, I think, is what Disney's worried about, because the farther you go into the summer, the more competition you're going to have, and that draws more people away. So at the end of the day...
Look at Deadpool. Look at Deadpool, man. Deadpool 2's coming out just a few weeks right after Infinity War.
Exactly.
That's why they bumped it back, so they would have an extra 3 weeks before Deadpool came out.
But it's going to make the majority of its money in those 3 weeks, man. This thing is going to destroy at the box office.
And don't get me wrong. So what is the biggest? Is it Avatar or is it Titanic? It's a James Cameron film, right?
The number one movie
of all time?
Avatar.
Avatar.
I thought Titanic was still...
It was. It was.
Here's what it is. It's Avatar, The Force, or Avatar... Okay, let's talk domestic, because domestic and internationally is different.
Two different markets.
So in the United States, it's The Force Awakens, then Avatar, and Black Panther just passed the Titanic.
They just passed it. Okay.
Just passed it.
You mean Black Panther is the third most engrossing film domestically?
Of all time. Yeah, it just passed it this last weekend. Yeah,
I
it
feel
passed
like my
Titanic.
Face
Are
emoji.
You crapping me? I did not know
Sunk
that.
The ship, man. Sunk
Dude,
the ship.
That is insane.
Yeah. So if you look at Avengers, while I don't know if it's going to reach because The Force Awakens almost made $1 billion in the United States.
I know.
That's kind of, I don't know if it's going to reach that level, but I do internationally, I do think it's going to get a lot closer to Avatar than people think. I don't think it's going to cross it because Avatar is, that's just numbers. You're never, it's
dude,
never
that's insane
in history, but it's going to get close.
Well, listen, Austin Berg, why don't you go ahead and do us the honors and move on here to the next one. And let's, speaking of Star Wars, because I want to keep this on topic.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So after his debut as Luke Skywalker in the original Star Wars more than 40 years ago, actor Mark Hamill might be looking to finally leave the franchise behind for good. While many fans are wondering if the actor will appear in Episode 9 in some capacity, Hamill confessed that without the opportunity to work with Harrison Ford or Carrie Fisher, he doesn't share the same passion that he once had. Hamill says, I haven't really thought about Episode 9 because there's such a sense of closure. Luke's story is told. What more can I do? The main thing was Han Solo was killed. Spoilers. I'll never get to work with Harrison again. Luke will never see Han again. We lost a member of the band. And then to lose Carrie in real life, I said, that's it. It's time to move on. Mm. So Mark Hamill, while I do think he'll be back for Episode 9, I just don't think he's had that conversation with JJ yet. And I feel like in his head, he might be ready to move on, especially after the backlash.
And well, here's the thing. Sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And you think about it, too, in the terms of Star Wars realm. I mean, he could always come back as a spirit form of his force and guide young Rey along, like, you know, Episode 9, Rey may meet some kind of overwhelming struggle or some kind of battle that she's got to face. And Luke, like Yoda did in The Last Jedi, will appear and have a conversation with her. And that'll be the last time we ever see Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker on film. And I think that would be a great homage because
I think that would be a perfect ending to
absolutely.
His role in the
and
whole
it would,
series.
It would bring everything that he's done and the Force, him actually being in the Force now.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And I think that would be maybe even CGI's Carrie Fisher to some extent. You know, like that would be kind of cool with the blue aura around her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just talking out of context here. But, you know.
You're
I just,
absolutely right. Well, there was actually a rumor going around today that Yoda might be coming back for Episode 9 as a Force ghost. So you've got Luke and Yoda Force ghosting Rey, and who knows, there's potential for Obi-Wan played by Ewan McGregor as well, right?
Well,
so
they've
JJ's
already,
coming back.
Yeah. Well, they've already hinted that that's going to be one of the next Star Wars solo films is a I don't want to say solo as in Han Solo, but you know how they've been doing Rogue One, then the Solo and all that. It could be we could actually have an Obi-Wan Kenobi backstory film. What happened between when Darth Vader was born, and then between when he was on Tatooine. What happened in that 30-year time gap? So we may understand what happened there. So
absolutely.
He was filming the Moulin Rouge.
Moulin.
No, yes. Or he probably wasn't.
Yes, he was. All right, guys. Moving on here with the news this week. We have, following in Nintendo's footsteps, Sega has officially boarded the nostalgia train and has announced that the Sega Genesis Mini, look at that beauty right there.
That's cool.
So it's going to be coming out, folks. Now, the news comes via a special presentation during the Sega-hosted Sega Fest in Tokyo, Japan, this past week. Now, more details will come, including what games will be included, the price point, release date, etc., etc. Now, here's a really weird thing for me. This is crazy. Looking at this right here, And this console, I own this console in its original form and original size.
Oh,
and yes. So knowing that they're recreating this in a mini form and this like to a new generation is kind of strange to me because I still have all of my games and a working console in my closet.
You're going to have to get the mini so you I'm just like, the mommy and baby version.
It's so weird. It's so weird, though.
I can still hear when you start up a Sega.
Sega.
You know, I can still hear that in my head.
Dun, 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 dun. Sorry.
Okay, now that's Sonic.
That's Sonic, yeah. I bet your butt that's Sonic. I think it's really great, though, that they're re-bringing out a new form of gaming entertainment, with this, which is HDMI compatible and all that. But one thing I do want to say, though, the console that I do have my mind set on, it's not in this week's news, is definitely the Atari VCS. I think that's going to be a really game changer in terms of the retro video gaming systems. And so it's going to be really awesome what they do there. But I'm not going to give any discredit to the Sega one. I wasn't even able to get the SNES Mini or the Nintendo Mini because every time I went to GameStop, they were always sold out. So I'm just like,
sold out, dude.
I'm just like, you know what? That's all right. I'll just take my old retro game up and play it myself. So don't need your mini. Anyway, go ahead, Lindsay. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the news this week with a little bit of Justice League info for you guys.
Oh, nice.
Justice League is coming to Madame Tussauds.
Madame Tussauds.
So that's how you say it. I'm not French.
It's okay. It's okay, my dear. It's
okay. All right. Well, we're going to have a one-of-a-kind attraction coming soon that'll bring friends incredibly close to the action. Madame Tussauds and Warner Brothers Consumer Products announced that the new Justice League experience is titled A Call for Heroes, cool. which will launch on May 25th. The attraction will hit the Orlando
baby!
There you go.
Joe's going to get a first peek at this, I think. And it will also hit the one over in Sydney later.
Wow.
The experience will have fans teaming up with Gal Gadot's Wonder Woman, Ben Affleck's Batman, and Henry Cavill's Superman.
Very cool.
Fans have never come this close to the action, says James Paulding, the general manager. Madame Tussauds Orlando, together with Warner Brothers Consumer Products, have created the Justice League experience that you have to see to believe. From unbeatable roster of DC superheroes to the sensational high-tech experiences, the experience will have the Justice League attempting to save the world from Lex Luthor and all the LexCorp technology at his disposal. So you kind of get to go on a little storyline with all of your favorite superheroes.
That freaking excites me. Oh my gosh, that's like, and I just did the Marvel station, the Avengers station out in Las Vegas, which is primo, by the way. If you're out there, you definitely go to Treasure Island. But now this here in Orlando, I've had the pleasure of being to Madame Tussauds in New York and Las Vegas and here in Orlando. And I've seen them, I've seen all three. And if you don't know what they are, it's just amazing, realistic, lifelike looking celebrities that you've probably seen them on Instagram. You know, you're taking a picture with Beyonce or Michael Jordan or something like that. And I actually had the privilege to be at Madame Tussauds during Blue Man Group's 25th anniversary when they unveiled the Blue Man Group wax figures. Now, for this, Austin, you're going to miss this by 3 weeks, man.
I know. It's just May 25th. I'm like, May 4th. No, dang it.
Whatever. Oh, man. It's okay.
See, and here in the Midwest, we always miss all the cool stuff. But they never bring any of the cool stuff here.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. Oh, my gosh. Never. I just wanted to say right quick, I'm looking in the chat room, man. We have Anna hanging out with us. We have.
Yeah.
The chat room is hopping right now. My goodness. Talking. You guys are bumping it to a whole new level tonight. But, getting it back, I'm really excited about the Madame Tussauds thing, and I think that's going to be awesome.
That's going to be pretty neat.
So, well, guys, that officially wraps up this week's news segment, and we're going to actually transition now into the main topic, which is Avengers Infinity War predictions. Now,
Avengers.
So let's talk. You ready for this? Now, we actually have been doing some research over the past couple of weeks prior to this, and there's a lot of things if you're caught up, there's 18 films, going on 18 films in the MCU of the 10 years that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has been alive. Mm-hmm. And in those films, there is so much information, so many little things, Easter eggs, tidbits, story arcs, character plots, that if you... there's still time to watch them all if you need to. There's
yes,
you still have
but
the time.
I would start now.
Yeah, yes,
yeah,
definitely.
There's a lot.
Definitely start with Iron Man number one and work your way all the way up through. Now, if you need a complete list of the films to watch, we have posted over on our PopXcast Instagram. You can scroll back a little bit, and we actually posted it, the films to catch you up before Infinity War. And you can see the thumbnails of all the movies, and they're in chronological order. And all the way up through to Black Panther, which was just released in February. So there's still time. And I don't, even though Black Panther is probably out of the theater, is it still playing? I think it's out of the theater by now, right?
It's still playing
almost.
Where I'm at.
Is it?
Okay. It's still there.
Okay.
Here's what I think, Marvel. Marvel's going to keep that thing in there until Avengers Infinity War comes out, and you're going to get a double feature of a lifetime.
Okay. Can I just say this about the movies and watching them?
Sure.
I would strongly suggest watching them in the chronological order of them being released.
Yeah.
Do not watch Iron Man 1, 2, 3. Thor 1, 2, 3.
No.
That's not going to work.
That's not going to work.
I mean, it'll work for the Iron Man storyline, but you're going to be missing a lot of little bits at the end of the movies, all the little extra bits. You really need to just make sure you watch them in the order they were released by the theater time. And
you hit the nail on the head there, Lindsay, because that it's so important. Now, here I'm on my Instagram on our page here. If you scroll down, probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 rows, you will see how I've labeled them and the films
that's awesome.
You got to start at the top row. That's awesome. Number one, all the
There's
way through.
So many tiny references
to Black Panther
in each movie that tie back to the past movies. So that it's so important.
That's the, that'll
to
catch
get
you
the full. The full thing out of it. Yeah, you got to do that.
But that'll catch you up, and hopefully it'll you'll have time for that. But so some questions now. We've seen the trailers. Now, I've been deliberately trying to restrain myself from watching things like TV spots, and which kind of gives extra footage that sometimes reveals something that you don't want to see. Mm-hmm. And so I've been just watching with the trailers and just kind of sticking with trailer one and trailer two. So the big question right now is, we had saw one of the last films was Thor Ragnarok, and we last saw Loki and one of the scenes where he had to go down into the vault under Asgard and get, the eternal fire to bring it back up. So Surtur could literally wreak Ragnarok all over Asgard. Yep. In that he stops and sees the Tesseract.
Yep.
All right.
And one of my predictions was that, oh, he's going to take that sucker, even though you don't actually
see
him.
Of course he took it. He's freaking Loki.
Of course he is. He's Loki.
Now, we've seen in the trailer, he's handing the Tesseract to Thanos. We know that. Okay. That's in the trailer. That's in the movie, right?
Yes.
If you've not seen the trailer, then probably go see the trailer now and do yourself a favor. All right, which side is Loki on?
And I have the answer for that.
Is he being forced to do something he doesn't want to do? So Lindsay, go ahead.
Loki is always on Loki's side.
All right.
No matter what.
That's a pretty.
he doesn't care about anybody. If it threatens his well-being, he will do anything for anybody. It does not matter. He has zero loyalty to anyone other than himself.
Okay.
He has proven that over and over again.
And that very well could be true. But at the same time, we're talking about in-stage Marvel Cinematic. So now this was a theory that was passed out. We see Thanos holding Thor's head, and he's not squishing it, but it looks like Thor is in agony. Could he be watching Thanos kill his brother before him to set an example?
Very well could.
All right, Austin Burke.
That's my prediction. Here's what happens.
Okay.
Loki offers up the Tesseract to save the lives of the people remaining on the Asgardian ship because Thanos is going to come in there and wipe about half of them out. And, you know, whether or not Korg and Valkyrie, whether or not they make it, I don't know at this point. I have no clue. But he's going to offer the Tesseract and himself up to save the remaining Asgardians. And then Thanos makes Thor watch his brother get killed for real. This is, I'm already spoiling what I'm going to say in one of the future questions. But Loki is dead as a doornail. And I actually wasn't saying this a couple of weeks ago, but that second trailer, man,
they did leak
some
it.
Of those clips.
It's pretty,
I gave it away.
Pretty darning. Pretty awesome. Yeah, man. It's
Loki is so shady, though. I mean, really. He wants to be a ruler over his people, but he no longer has a whole lot of people.
Well, here's the thing, though. So, I think that Thanos puts him in a situation that even Loki is uncomfortable with, and he has to go get the Tesseract, or somebody close to Loki is going to die.
Okay, and where in the movie? I mean, okay, first of all, we don't know how many stones we're going to be getting in the first movie collected.
True.
How much power he has controlling over people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Loki could be just, like, literally being controlled by the gauntlet. Has nothing to do with Thor.
We don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of different theories you could throw about. I mean, he could voluntarily, he could be forced. You don't know.
Yeah.
But what a way to go out, though, for Loki is sacrificing himself for the remainder of his people. I mean, what a way to go out. You know, I think that would be the ultimate hero's death for him.
That would flip him from being villain to hero, for sure.
Yeah,
and don't get me wrong. I think there was a moment in the comics where Loki did turn good and become a hero into some, but he's always been that villain, kind of like, you know, straddling the fence. He's almost like the Catwoman of the Marvel universe. He's, you don't know if he's good or bad. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good way of like, yeah. But Thor can never die, but the presence of Thor has to live on. Michael Thomas. So answer your question, Thor, yeah, he said Thor can never die. Lol. That's true. But the current Thor can die and another person can rise up to the mantle of Thor.
That's very true.
That's true. Yep.
And we've seen that in the comics, especially when Marvel rebooted their entire franchise last year when Thor number one was a female.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So just saying that. All right. Next question.
All right.
Thor's new hammer. All right. We saw in Ragnarok. She went up and she crushed. We're talking about Thor's sister here, Hela. Crushed it into a blithern right there as Odin died on the cliffs. So now this has kind of already been answered, but I did want to bring it up because I thought it was a really good point that we do see Thor with a brand new weapon. And Hasbro, thanks to Hasbro and their amazing marketing team, you can go to Target and find Stormbreaker.
Man, you can go to Walmart and Target and pretty much piece together the storyline.
I'm serious. You're absolutely correct, Lindsay. If you go and you look on the shelves, and I mean, there it is. It says Thor's Stormbreaker. So even though it's they're not telling you what the name of it is in the trailer, you can go and see that the toy. Sometimes that the toys and the toy lines will give away what a character looks like or an upcoming thing, even before it happened so many times. We saw that in Suter in Thor Ragnarok was released. We saw his pop vinyl come out months before, and we knew exactly he was going to have the horned headdress. And I was like, and sure enough, in the film, verbatim. So.
Okay, well, Joe, to tap your comic knowledge, what do we know about Stormbreaker? Where did it come from? What's it made of? What powers does it have? Is it the same as the one before?
To be honest, Stormbreaker, Mjolnir was actually made from the debris of a dying star. Mm-hmm. And so, it was the power of the universe in this hammer. Stormbreaker, I think, harnesses the power of lightning. So, which they call it Stormbreaker. Get it?
That makes sense.
So, I think it's more of a lightning rod for Thor to be able to just channel the lightning and do it that way.
But I know Thor didn't just go to Walmart and buy one out of the toy section. Oh, before the man. Movie started.
I don't know the origin of Stormbreaker. So,
Here's what's kind of cool. So, if you look at the toy and you look at the way that the hammer is constructed, you see this branch looking thing going up in the middle of Stormbreaker and coming down the end of it. And if you look in the trailers, Thor is spending a lot of time with Rocket and Groot. Now, Groot, he has the ability to create living, breathing, not breathing, but living like branches on vines. Top of things and his vines, basically, to, you know, take people out and whatever. So it looks to me like all this time he's spending with Rocket Raccoon and Groot is him on his search or on his and there's actually another rumor. So Peter Dinklage has been cast in Avengers Infinity War. There's a rumor
really?
That he plays the Dwarf King, right? Who in the comics helps Thor get Stormbreaker. He is one of the reasons why Thor has Stormbreaker in the comics, the Dwarf King, and Peter Dinklage is in the IMDb
cast. This is breaking news. Joe did not know this.
So here's what I think, right? I think Thor's little adventure with Groot and Rocket is him bringing Stormbreaker to life, basically. And in the second trailer, you see a shot of Thor putting his hand up. Now, here's what he's doing with his hand. It looks like he's grasping onto something, and you see all this lightning come down to his hand.
He's preaching.
What if they
CGI'd
out the hammer? What if they CGI'd out the hammer, and that is him, boom, for the first time, and in the background, you see Groot and Rocket standing right there watching.
Well, that's been done before, because they CGI'd out his eye that he lost in Ragnarok. And when he turns around on the bridge, he has both eyes in the trailers. But in the movie, they're so clever. Yep. Those little marketing guys.
That's what I think. I think they are tricking us in the trailers, which is genius. But if you look at the way his hand is shaped, it looks like he's supposed to be holding something.
Dude.
That's all I'm saying.
Dude, Austin Burke bringing the legitness right now, man.
When you started talking about Groot and his vines and stuff, that just takes me back to the end scene credits the middle of the credits where Star-Lord is complaining to adolescent Groot about all of his vines and junk all over the place. Why don't you clean this place up? And then I was like, duh, of course.
If you look at the toy, it's going and wrapping around the middle of the hammer.
Oh, my. That's okay. Stormbreaker, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Burke.
Yes, I think we've wrapped that question up.
All right, so here's an interesting thought. All right, so we're going to switch it up gears now. All right, so we see in the trailer that Thanos is getting ready to pry the stone out of Vision's forehead. And there it is. There's the scene that we're talking about from the trailer. Now, the big question, what happens to Vision with no Mind Stone?
I think he dies.
Does he die?
I think he dies.
But he's biomorphic. He doesn't require the Mind Stone to live because he is basically an upgraded version of Ultron himself.
Here's what I think.
Well, based off of Scarlet Witch's reaction.
It's true. That's a good point.
I'm pretty sure he don't.
So in the trailer, they're in Wakanda, and the reason that they're in Wakanda is because they're hiding Vision from Thanos, because Wakanda can't be found on a map. Now, eventually, you know, he finds them, whatever. But there's a shot in one of the trailers where Shuri is holding up a hologram of Vision's head, very quick, very brief, and you see that glowing Mind Stone. What I think is they are trying to find a way to extract the stone from Vision so he lives. And in the second film, there are rumors that two young kids have been cast, two twins have been cast in Avengers Part 4. In the comics, Scarlet Witch and Vision have a set of twins.
They do.
Oh, snap.
We covered that. No, we covered that in one of our origin stories. I remember that.
I might remember this. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch
that. They do have Scarlet. Yeah, wow.
So I was on the Vision death train for a long time, but I think he somehow survives this.
I really do.
Well, you think about it. He was Jarvis first.
Maybe she's pregnant right now.
It's true.
Very true. Maybe she is pregnant. And so, you know, we know he was Jarvis before. Now he's Vision. Mm-hmm. Maybe his consciousness lives on through his children.
That's true. I mean, there are so many ways to go about this. And the Vision death, I think, is the biggest mystery right now, because a lot of people's like, oh yeah, Cap's dead and this guy's dead and this guy's Vision looks like he dies, but if you think back to Civil War, they made it look like Rhodey died.
They did. In the trailer. They did.
They're making it look like Vision dies.
But you're talking about a stone that harnesses so much power.
It's true.
How could he not die in the process of that?
But what if Shuri finds a way to extract that stone from his head?
You know what? And that chick is so smart, she probably did. So I'm not going to say it's certain, yeah. but I'm still on the death train.
Man. No, it's I was on that train for a long time, for months.
I'm gonna need
and
a lot of convincing.
You know,
like
I think one thing I'm starting to learn here in all of this is that nobody really knows anything.
No.
That is really, and that is probably the most awesome thing. I mean, we're talking about Infinity War. Okay. We're talking about what we think is going to happen. But
yeah, no, it's all.
Well, and here's the thing, Joe, is right next to you, you have the book.
Yeah.
You have all of the answers. I have the original answers.
This is it right
here.
But
these movies are not frame per frame.
Oh,
going with this storyline, so you have no idea what they're going to keep. You have no idea what they're going to change. You know the gist of what's going to happen in the end, but there's so many things that they could twist and turn and plot twist to make it a slightly different outcome. And I think that's.
But look who's at the center of this book.
Oh, that a boy,
Adam Warlock. So what does that tell you? He has to be a big part of this in some way.
Okay, so the last time we. Well, we haven't technically seen Adam Warlock. He was in a cocoon.
Yeah,
at the event.
And I think that the Easy Bake Oven timer went off.
Hopefully,
and we're
it
about
did.
To meet this dude.
Maybe, yeah. It's possible.
Well, let's go on into some more stuff here. Now, do you think it's a possibility with the Time Stone that this has been going on? That we've seen there's some theories out there. If you watch the trailer where. Tony Stark is walking forward, but you have Doctor Strange and is it Hawkeye or Banner in the background, but they're kind of frozen. It's kind of like they're not moving. Yeah. So do you think at any point that any villains will return because of the Time Stone being warped? Do you think we might see Red Skull? Do you think we might see, I don't know. Is it possible?
I think it's very possible, but if you bring back a lot of those villains... Are they taking away from the main big bad, or are they working together to support him?
Or do you think
hopes
do you,
to survive?
Or do you think he brings back the villains to be able to incorporate them into his new army, his four legion that is around him?
I think that might be a very good possibility.
I think if we see any villains, I don't think it'll be in this movie because I think this movie is going to be more of a setup. If it turns out that there is a part two to the Avengers finale, if you will. But if there is one that returns, I think it's going to be Red Skull because the guy got shot in space. I mean, where did he go? You know?
Well, yeah, he's not. Red Skull's not dead.
Yeah,
he's not dead. He was just. And we found that out later in what I can't remember which one of the films it was. Was it the end of Thor when they said that he doesn't die? He's just vanished into a different realm.
When they were talking about the Infinity Stone?
Yeah, when they were talking about it, and it's like, and it kind of raised the question, oh, well, Red Skull's not dead then. He wasn't vaporized. And
wasn't
so,
vaporized.
You know, and you think about all the Nazis that they were using those guns with that was using the power of the Tesseract. They're not dead. They're somewhere.
Yeah.
Is Thanos going to have an army of Nazis?
God, I hope not.
Oh,
it's like Wolfenstein meets Avengers all
this
of a sudden.
This is just getting weirder and weirder the more that we go down the rabbit hole.
Okay.
I like what we're doing
What? Let's bring it back for a second though. Let's actually change gears for a second. So we've got over the villains. What happened at the end of Spider-Man Homecoming?
Mm-hmm.
What happened when Tony was getting ready to do the press conference and he asked Happy for the ring, and then they were going to go into the press room. Did Tony Stark propose to Pepper Potts? And do you think that at this point that they may be married or getting ready to get married? What do you think about, will we see Pepper Potts? Is Pepper Potts in this film?
She's wearing a ring in that picture.
She is? Oh.
Yeah, she is.
She is wearing
a
ring.
So you know there's some bling that has been accepted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they are married yet, though. They wouldn't have had time to have a marriage, I don't
think. Yeah, I think they're on the verge. I think they're on the verge of getting married. Now, I do think that'll be cut short real quick, and we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
But I think they're on the verge of getting married.
You know what? There was a really... To tag on with what Austin was saying, I was reading an article today that was really interesting, and it was saying that at the end of this film, by the end of this film, that Tony Stark is going to be handing the realms over to Shuri as Iron Man.
Ooh.
Because Tony Stark is getting to the point where he's ready to move on. Even the character. Well, he wants to retire, but he wants to be like more of a liaison, like Nick Fury was, you know, more of like a guy that shows up every once in a while. But, you know, we do have a female African-American black man figure right now in the Marvel Cinematic, in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that be kind of cool if Shuri just kind of floated into that and become...
She is the smartest person in the world.
I mean, you know... I just say, but
and you know, she could control those suits like she can control the car and everything else.
She's so smart.
The safety of her own lab.
And let's be honest, the technology in Wakanda far surpassed anything that Stark technologies could ever do.
Could you imagine if Tony Stark spent a little while in Wakanda?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you see the trailers, how the Iron Man suit is now forming over his body.
Yeah.
I think they're leaving that out of the trailers. I think he does spend some time in Wakanda in this movie.
He has to.
Here's what I love about the nanobots.
Yep.
They are using the same like three or four scenes and just slowly expanding on them. But there is so much more to this movie that I don't think we're seeing.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that's great.
I think so too. And I think it's going to be great. And so we may see the progression of the story arc with Tony and Pepper Potts. So that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Next question. Now, this one's kind of a far stretch. This one's kind of really taking it out of left field. Do you think at some point it would be possible that the Defenders would show up as a quick cameo to bring in, to just show up and be a part of the battle? Do you think it's a stretch? Is it possible? Because they are considered the MCU. They are considered part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
But they've never met.
They don't have to meet. If the world's going to an end, everybody rally the troops.
Right, I get that. I think it's a very, very far stretch.
I know it's a far stretch.
To see that in these, in either of these two movies to have them come up. But I don't know. Maybe Daredevil.
Austin?
I give it a 0% chance of this being referenced in the movie just because Ike Perlmutter, the guy over Marvel Television, and Kevin Feige, they do not get along. But I think you will, because they have to, if they do another Defenders series, they have to reference what happens in the world. So you will feel the effects of Avengers in the show. You just won't feel the show effects on the movies.
Yeah.
Iron Fist will just sit around and meditate and cry.
Just talk about
Please
it.
Please don't hurt me.
You know, I just sat there just gonna buy me a Lincoln and I just gonna be like anyway. All so right. he rolling his booger there, Mr. Matthew McConaughey.
Norman Osborn fan casting.
Yes. All right, here's another far stretch. We have a few far stretches, but you know, it's worth asking. Will the Fantastic Four make a cameo in this film, and will they be a part of it now that the Fox Disney merger is complete?
I would say timing wise, that would be a possibility in the second one, not the first one.
Awesome. Did you guys see the fan art that came out? I mean, Boss Logic.
Boss Logic, man. He is legit.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah. He did John Krasinski as Mr. Fantastic, Emily Blunt as Invisible Woman, Zac Efron as Human Torch, and John Cena as The Thing. And it was the best. I mean, it looked, oh my god, give me that now.
Yeah.
It was awesome, man. Yeah. So, and the mergers, the rumors are that this is happening at the end of next year. So, I mean, I don't think this movie, but there's potential that they could, Kevin Feige always looks ahead. So maybe put a little cameo in the next film, but
that would be legit because in the next Avengers to be named, it would be nice to maybe drop Reed Richards in the Fantastic Four, which would lead to their rebooted film.
Here's what I think real quick. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I was going to say, I could totally see Zac Efron in some spandex. So,
Oh my God.
There is that.
Austin Burke, please grace us with your non-spandex booty commentary there.
Well, at the end of Spider-Man, end of Spider-Man
the female
Homecoming,
perspective. That's it.
This is why we have you here, Lindsay.
This is why we have you here. That's right.
So at the end of Spider-Man Homecoming, the Stark Tower is sold, right?
Yes.
Who bought Stark Tower? Was it Norman Osborn Or is it now the Baxter Building?
Oh, crap.
I mean, is that...
That's a big plot hole.
Is that the new Fantastic Four? You know how they have their big base of Tower of Operations.
They're going to put a four on that thing.
They're going to put a four on that thing.
Oh, my God, dude. That's the Baxter Building.
How cool
is that? Wow. You just like literally unlocked a whole realm in my brain just then.
Hey, that's Joe's brain right now. He's like, what?
You know what,
and
Austin?
They never... No, go ahead.
No, when you come in a few weeks, Austin gets the blessing of coming to Orlando here to spend a few days with me. We're probably not going to get any sleep. We're going to be up all night talking about freaking Marvel movies. You realize that, right?
So many fan theories.
I really hope that you have me on cam while you guys discuss this.
I mean, this is going to be like a bromance, cousin mance, family mance, Marvel mance of all. Oh, my God. Anyway.
A Marvel mance.
Marvel like mance, that. Baby. All right, so we have a few more questions, and we're getting close on time. So big one is, where's Adam Warlock? Now, we talked about him a little bit earlier. And so look at that. He actually wields the gauntlet.
Beautiful.
And I think it was going to have to come to a point where he's going to have to intervene maybe three quarters of the film towards the end of the film because, you know, Thanos is going to rise so much into power and dominate every spectrum that there's going to have to be some kind of cosmic being that comes out somewhere that offers some ray of hope.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just even the story, almost every page in Infinity Gauntlet, the entire story of what we're going through has Adam Warlock in it. I mean, it's almost like they would have to take Thanos out and let somebody else wield the gauntlet to create a storyline that, you know what I'm saying? You can't do it without Thanos. You have to have Thanos. And and it's like a counterpoint. And let's see, what is the best Loki and Thor? All right. You cannot have a story arc without the two because they're brothers.
Yes.
And so the polar opposite of Thanos is Adam Warlock. And I'm sitting here and we know he's coming. But is it going to be in this movie or the next movie? Or is he going to awaken in Volume 3 of Guardians? We don't know. I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's a tough one for me.
Wait till Guardians. Oh,
that's 2020,
gosh.
I think,
not.
Right? Yeah, Guardians is 2020, correct?
Yeah, Guardians is 2020. Yeah.
So far. Oh, no, they've got to do it in this movie. It would be silly for them not to.
My gosh. Everybody over in the chat room is like, live stream Joe and Austin talking about Marvel.
Maybe Adam Warlock.
That's a good idea.
It is a good idea, actually.
Adam Warlock might be the cliffhanger that ends this movie.
Or it could be the snap we're going to be talking about.
The snap.
I don't know. There is so many things that could happen. I mean, the thing about it is right now, I love talking about this because none of us know really what the heck's going to happen.
We're just crapshooting right now.
We're just crapshooting. That's right.
You know nothing.
All right. Now here's another weird question. Let's move on. Where's Hawkeye and Ant-Man?
Ooh, I have a theory.
Okay. I want to hear the theory because I seriously want this. I want to say Hawkeye. Microverse, but I'm going to let you go.
I think Hawkeye. Now, Ant-Man, I think they might just be leaving them out of the marketing because Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out later. I think they're trying to give him, he's got his own movie coming out. Let's just put him on.
But
off.
Paul Rudd's in the movie. Yeah.
Oh, he's in the movie. Oh yeah, that is confirmed. So where is he? But Hawkeye, here's where I think Hawkeye is. This is a stretch. I have nothing to base this on. We know that Captain Marvel is in Avengers 4.
Correct.
Brie Larson was on set. We know that 100%. We don't know if she's in Avengers 3, right? And Thanos is a big threat. So they're going to need somebody to take this down. Nick Fury, as we're going to see in Captain Marvel, he spent some time with Captain Marvel in the 90s because we get that movie a couple of months before we get Avengers 4.
Very true.
Is Hawkeye on a mission from Nick Fury to find the whereabouts of Captain Marvel? That is what, and then at the end of this film, it's post-credit scene or not, we see Captain Marvel and she's coming for Avengers 4. That's what I think.
Austin Burke with the mic drop,
dude.
Right there.
And you know that would make sense because Hawkeye is a normal character. He has no special abilities other than just a really great archer. And so
it would be pointless to put him in the battle.
It would
pointless.
He would die instantly. There's no way. I mean, you can't put him up against someone like Hulk, Thanos, or Captain America, or Iron Man, or any of the other. I mean, let's be real. You know, I mean, it's one of those things. Even Black Widow is a stretch too, in terms of like a cosmic being, because there's no superhero ability there. Well, let me rephrase that. There is no cosmic ability there, like Thor or somebody like that. And so, you know, Hawkeye is kind of like the Batman, if you will, of the Marvel. So, very interesting, Austin. I like that. Hawkeye on a mission from Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Man, that's insane.
I have too much time on my hands, Joe.
Well, you know, it's...
Do you think they'll reference him being on a mission, or do you just think that she'll show up and he'll be with her? And
I think it'll be an entire...
Like, hey, guys. Sorry, I'm late.
I think it's going to be throughout the entire movie.
I think it's going to be a side journey. It's going to be a side journey. You remember how in The Last Jedi, when they went to the planet with the casino, I can't remember the name of it. Even though it wasn't the best little sidebar in Star Wars, but that kind of gives you an idea of the little side journey needed to get to the hacker that was in Star Wars The Last Jedi. I think that's what they're going to do is, you know, throughout the film, you're going to see snippets of Hawkeye on this mission. That's a really good pull, Austin Burk. That's really good. Thank you. And that kind of led us to our next question, where is Captain Marvel? Well, I think those two are going to probably coincide. So look at that. Oh
man, I can't wait. I love Brie
Captain
Larson.
Marvel. Oh,
gosh.
All right. So we have three more questions. We can do this.
Yep.
Where's the Soul Stone?
I think that's like the biggest question. That is around the internet
one
right
of
now.
The biggest questions on the tab right now. So there's so many. I mean, they're saying like, so there's three theories. One of the theories is it's in Heimdall's chest. He controls.
Yeah, I've heard.
He's got the thing there, and even though it's a small little gym, people are saying where he can control the time space and the what is it called, the bridge, the gateway. Yeah. That he can do that. And the other one is that the Soul Stone is somewhere hidden in Wakanda. That the Wakandans are hiding it, and you know, you think about their technology and everything too. I can't remember what the third one was. It's killing me, and it's just caught me off topic. But so Austin, where do you think the Soul Stone is?
Man, that's that, and honestly, I don't even know if the Soul Stone is going to show up in this film.
It may not.
We don't know if he doesn't end up doing, then maybe Avengers 4 is him getting that final stone.
Yeah.
I mean, we just, at this point, the Soul Stone is the one thing that no matter how many predictions on the internet we get, that is the one thing that I don't think anybody except for Kevin Feige and a handful of the people, because even people like Tom Holland, he's not read the entire script.
No.
He doesn't even know. In an interview, he said, I don't know. I didn't know I was fighting Thanos. I was just fighting a guy in a suit. A little green suit. So
let me expand on this just for a second regarding Wakanda. We see that T'Challa, one of the sacred plants that he eats to get his thing is the plant of the heart. It's a heart plant, and it's grown specifically. And when he consumes this, he goes to a different realm to where he can talk to his ancestors. And one of the theories is that the Soul Stone is actually inside T'Challa himself. It's his heart.
Oh, no.
And in order
that would
to
be awful.
Well, you know, you think about it though, because he has to, the whole thing is in Wakandan folklore, and T'Challa is the soul, the heart. Being able to connect with your ancestors, being able to talk to your father and your grandfathers before you. And so, you know, that was a theory that's out there, is that it's actually within. He embodies the Soul Stone.
That makes sense. It's good. Well, okay, so would that make it the second stone to be on Earth? That seems kind of like really weird odds to have an entire universe.
Wakanda is hidden, so nobody knows about it.
That's true.
Wakanda's hidden, so nobody knows about it. There could be two stones on Earth. Maybe one stone fell into Wakanda and formed the vibranium core. And around the vibranium core is within the Soul Stone is I don't the lineage of T'Challa. I mean,
it gives him the power to go and see his dead ancestors. I mean, that's the soul. It's their souls, so that's a possibility. Yeah.
I mean, it's my gosh. We're just
or maybe some random celestial will show up and say, "Hey guys, you want this?"
Okay.
Hey, what's up? Got the Soul Stone. How you doing?
We have two more questions, guys, and we're going to wrap this up. And now we're going to actually reverse the last two. Now we're going to get to the point in the movie. Will we see the snap? You heard us talk about it earlier. Now, I actually have it bookmarked here, and I'm going to show you. This is one of the pivotal moments of the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. And when Thanos gets all the stones, he has a conversation with Mephisto and Death, and he's like, "Let me show you what I can do." And look, there's the snap. And when there he snaps, what happens? Look at that snap. Bam.
Look at that.
When Mike he does that, 50% of the entire universe dies. I mean,
that's his goal. It's to correct. It's the balance, man. And that's he's going from planet to planet, getting that balance, because that's what he tried to do on his home planet. That's why he got kicked out. Right.
That's it. He's a renegade.
That's what they're building up to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've even Gamora did it in the trailer. She's like, kinda, just like that.
And he can take you out. Just like that.
Mm.
And so Gamora knows more than what is being told to the trailers, because there's the scene where she's grabbing her father's finger. And, and you know, I think he invaded her home world and he took her in as an orphan and trained her up. Mm-hmm. So she knows she's probably going to be one of the key elements to bring down Thanos.
Here's the thing I think a lot of people are forgetting about this film. The Russo brothers came out and blatantly said, this is being told from Thanos's point of view for the majority of the film, right? You get the stuff happening on Earth. This is his, he has the majority of the screen time, followed by, and this is odd, Thor has the second most screen time in the movie as a main character.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that kind of makes sense, because Thor shows up on the ship with the Guardians. That's how the Guardians meet up with the people on the Earth. Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably tie into that as well. Mm-hmm.
You have to bridge that. That would take quite a bit of screen time to make it seamlessly fit into a new story.
I could literally talk about this all night.
I could
this
too.
This is crazy.
I could too.
And so that's going to lead us up to the big thing when he does the snap, the last question of the night, and we're going to wrap up the show. Who will die?
Oh man!
So
well, I think most people agree that Cap is gone.
I think Cap. I don't know, man. You just never know with these kind of movies. I mean, maybe it is so hard to tell right now.
Well,
I mean,
we already said that if Hawkeye shows up, he's gone.
Yeah, Hawkeye doesn't stand a chance, really.
Yeah, if Hawkeye is anywhere near that battle, he is dead as a doornail. And he's always been in my predictions. But now, the more I think about that storyline with Captain Marvel, the more I'm like, maybe Hawkeye doesn't die, right?
Maybe.
I think Captain America, if we're going, we have to pick a big dog, right?
Yeah.
Because they've already came out and said one of the big dogs are dying. I think Cap's your big dog, man. Come and get me. I like that.
I'm going to tell you right now that regardless of who dies, I'm going to have to remember to bring some Kleenex with me, because I know I have invested
it's gonna
so
suck.
Many hours in all of these characters that there's going to be some crying
but you're
going
talking
on
about
big old fat blubbery baby.
You were talking about Thor giving half the screen time. Well, look right there.
There you go, man. I mean, I think that's coming. I really do. A Thor v Thanos, because he's going to be very upset that he killed Loki. Oh, wait. Loki's dead. That's my other prediction. I think Loki's dead. I think Cap potentially. And here's two that I think are just kind of out of nowhere for me. I think Pepper's dead. I think Pepper dies.
Spoiler alert.
In this movie.
Spoiler alert. Look what happens to Thor.
Jeez.
Look at this. He turns him into crystal, and then the next pane shatters him to a million pieces.
Thor could die. I mean, we don't know. Thor could die. But I think Pepper's going to die because
here's Thanos
because
killing Thor.
In the trailer. Oh geez. Yeah, I mean it's possible. No, seriously,
I'm gonna reiterate right now that this comic book is the original storyline. It is not what's gonna happen in the movie verbatim.
And and
I don't think
that happen.
And here's what happens to the demise of Thanos, and I don't know if I'm getting into Avengers 4, but at some point the Celestials show up and take control of Thanos. That's Galactus. That is Galactus. In a corner. Yeah. And so we've actually did a podcast not too long ago, Celestials and their origin stories. And if you want to know, I mean, seriously, I mean, you're talking about the Watchers. We saw them already in Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, they're coming.
Does Hulk die?
No.
I don't think Hulk can die, can he?
No.
Well, Banner can die.
Well, I don't know, because Banner's tried to pull a bullet in his own brain, and he ended up turning into the Hulk, and he spit the bullet out.
Oh, snap. That's right.
Yeah. So he, I think Hulk's safe.
Hulk's around for a while, so.
Yeah. I think well, Nebula.
I mean, we could go through each character.
Nebula could die. Yeah, Nebula could easily.
Nebula is my one. She's my calling card.
And Scarlet Witch. Maybe Scarlet Witch will die during birth or something, like with the twins. Yeah, I don't know.
Or, I mean, Black Widow. She's got some mad kung fu, but I mean.
Yeah, Black Widow, I think. I don't know.
Her, she's going to measure up to.
Why she doesn't have, right. like, any legit superpowers other than good with guns and she can kick. Karate chop.
I do want to say though, if you guys are really enjoying what we're doing tonight and enjoying this, definitely go back and check out episode number 73 where we talked about the origin stories of the Infinity War saga.
What if Rocket dies? Oh, he can't die because he is in the movie. None of the Guardians.
No, Rocket ain't even in Guardians 3 yet. So I do want to say this though. You know, you've got a little bit of homework to do, and if you have a comic book shop near you, I would definitely highly recommend picking this up because there is so much great. This is $22. You can find it a lot cheaper on Amazon. But if you're like me and you want it in the moment, and I've had this for a few years. I actually have all the original comics of this. But definitely pick this up because there's some stuff in here that will kind of open your eyes, like, you know, Thor being shattered into a million pieces. But definitely do that. And if you need those lists of movies to watch before it comes out, you still have plenty of time. If you watch one a night, that's just 2 hours a night when you're winding down, watching dinner, eating dinner, watching some TV, you can actually catch up. And to do that, go to our PopX page on Instagram. That's at PopXCast. And be sure to scroll down to about the sixth or seventh row, and you'll see all the movies listed right there that you need to watch to catch you up. It looks like a lot, but if you start now, you can catch up, and you will be 1,000% ready for this movie when it comes out.
So, okay, so just to reiterate, the movie's called Infinity Wars.
Correct.
The second part is not titled yet, but we think it's Infinity Gauntlet. Because the actual comic book story is called Infinity Gauntlet, correct?
Yes.
And
not to make people confused one way or the other.
And strangely enough, when I got this Infinity Gauntlet back here, it actually has Avengers Infinity Gauntlet on the label of the box, which is kind of strange. I don't know if that's another toy marketing uh-oh moment. Like, did we just screw up? You know, but I'm just saying, so.
And the Russos said that the name of Avengers 4 is a spoiler, and what better way to spoil it than have the exact same title as the original comic book? It's always possible.
That would actually give premise to Adam Warlock being able to yield and wield the gauntlet itself to defeat Thanos. Now, I want to do something really cool for you guys right quick, okay? So if you have your screen capture key ready and available, I am going to go ahead and put this up right here for you. And all you have to do is just let's see if I can maximize this here. There we go. So there you go.
Make it big. Full screen it up.
So look at this. Iron Man 1, Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton. You've got Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, First Avenger. Then the Avengers. Now we're going into Phase 2, which is Iron Man 3, Thor Dark World, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy 1, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man. And then we're getting into Phase 3, which is Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, and Black Panther. And
what
so that will catch you up, and that'll help. That's your movies right there. So
I still have a couple of holes to fill in. So don't feel bad if you haven't seen them all yet.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to get ready and wrap this thing up. I mean, this has been one awesome podcast, and we're so excited that you guys joined us tonight. And from all of us here at PopX, man, we are just so thankful you guys are just hanging with us tonight. But definitely in 2 weeks, man, it is going to be lit. when we come back in 2 weeks, you're going to see, yes, we're going to have smiles on our faces, or we're going to be like crying.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Yeah. So this is going to be legit. So definitely plan now. And if you haven't got your ticket and you still have seats available, definitely get your ticket, because rumors are saying for that whole weekend, completely sold out, even in the small little town theaters. So
yeah,
you might want to start getting your ticket.
Format next week.
What's that?
Should we change the format next week and do the news last?
Oh man, I don't know.
Dive right in.
I don't know. I don't think we can do anything Avengers Infinity War related in the news, because we definitely want to save that the meat of the show. But Austin Burke, you want to go ahead and wrap us up, my friend?
Yeah, let's get started, fellers. I am Austin Burke at the Burkinator. I reviewed two fantastic movies, Quiet Place and Isle of Dogs, on my YouTube channel this week. If you guys haven't checked out those movies, be sure to go watch them. We are also part of an amazing network called the Gunna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to gunnageek.com and check out some amazing podcasts on our home network.
Yes, The Quiet Place is where Austin actually didn't talk.
Oh, yes.
Believe it or not, he was quiet.
I said, except for the people around me, they're like crunching on their popcorn and balls going up. I'm like, shut up.
That's so funny. Well, you guys know who I am, Lindsay Badger. If you want to come hang out with me on my social media, it's at LR Badger, pretty much anywhere all over the internet. And you can check out PopX Cast on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. Everything is at PopXCast. If you're old school and you like to do the email thing, you can also email us at PopXCast@gmail.com. And as we've said at the beginning of the show, we're going to say it one more time. For future and past shows, make sure you go to our website, PopXCast.com.
And a huge shout out right now to all these people. I'm sitting here talking to our friends. We got Luke, we got Michael, we got Anna, we got Darth Baca. I mean, it is... Seriously, the chat was lit tonight, and you guys
rocked the chat tonight. Yeah. I really enjoyed seeing your comments flow through.
Oh man, and you know what? We're only 2 weeks away from the 29th. It's gonna be so awesome. And guys, I am Joseph Burke, aka at Joseph Burke Arts on the internet. Of course, hats off to my amazing T-Pop-X, Mr. Mike Ippolito, up in Atlanta doing his thing like he always does, giving us some graphic love. You're welcome. You're welcome, my son. We love you, man. But that's it for this episode. Now join us in 2 weeks on April the 29th as we dive into episode number 76, the Infinity War film review and more. Okay, and so remember, guys, my gauntlet's always bigger than yours. So from all of us here at PopX, thanks for listening, thanks for downloading, and we'll see you next time on PopX Cast.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.